God announced his plan. Tonight, someone would die. The jailer had heard of Paul, of course. Pretty much everyone in Philippi had. Some preacher from Palestine. He'd gotten a following. Been around, what, 2 years now? And then yesterday. There was the slave girl. Some said she was possessed by a demon, but this demon could tell the future. And in her free time, this demon-possessed girl was running after Paul and Silas, these preachers, and screaming things about them, knowing the way to eternal life. Well, when a demon tells you a way to have life, you know you probably shouldn't listen. And she'd been doing this for weeks. So finally, apparently, Paul turns and shouts at the demon to leave the girl, and it did. Whatever Paul was preaching apparently had some power. But the girl's owners weren't too happy. Without the demon, she couldn't exactly tell the future, could she? And they riled up the crowd. And that's how the jailer met Paul and Silas. The mob brought them to his jail. "Secure them inside! Heaviest chains! They go on trial tomorrow!" And the jailer knew his business. He locked them up tight, in her cell. And that's when the jailer knew there was something wrong with these two. The entire time, they're singing. And they're not singing some cursing, hateful song. They were singing praise. They were praising their God for being counted worthy to suffer for some guy named Jesus. The jailer ignored it. Strange, sure, but it was better than getting cursed at or attacked like normal. The thing that unnerved the jailer most, though, was that the other prisoners were listening in. They weren't trying to rile the newbies. They weren't giving advice or telling them to shut up. They listened as Paul and Silas sang and prayed and praised. The jailer went next door to his home that night, satisfied that the chains were all secure. Those strange new prisoners weren't getting out. His wife, of course, had dinner waiting when he arrived. His children were ready to report what they'd done that day. His boy, 16, ready to train for the military like his old man. His daughter, 14, looking forward to marriage. The 8-year-old, mostly concerned with his toys. And their surprise and delight. Their daughter, born just 2 months ago. His mother-in-law complained all through dinner, too, just like normal. The jailer went to bed that night. His wife in his arms, prepared to sleep the sleep the just. And he was awakened by the earth itself trying to kill him. The room violently shook, trying to hurtle their bed out the window. His wife is screaming. His daughter is screaming. The servants are screaming. The prisoners. If they escape, he's a dead man. And his family too. All dead. The earth falls silent. Its rage passed. His wife sobs beside him in the sudden silence. The jailer, though, he leaps out of bed, sprinting for the stairs to get him outside to the jail. He grabs his belt and sword, ready to slay anyone trying to escape. His son chases after him. "Stay back!" he commands. As he bursts out of the house, he sees the prison. In the shaking of the earth, in the shaking of the foundations, every door burst open. Every single door. He draws his sword. It's shaking. Someone here will die tonight. And if the prisoners have already escaped, if they've escaped, the jailer is responsible. And his superiors will make sure he pays. And that his family pays. This is it. He's a failure. And when someone is a failure, when a man is a failure, he needs to pay the price. That Paul, that Silas, they were attached to someone with power, someone with enough power to drive out a demon, someone who was displeased with the jailer, someone who shook the entire prison to not only save his followers, but to show his fury that someone would dare imprison his followers. The jailer had displeased a god. His best option. His best option. He can't face his superiors. He can't catch the prisoners. He turns the sword on himself. If he drives the sword through his stomach, it'll look like the prisoners got him on the way out. His family won't be responsible. It just means he needs to kill himself. It's the noble action. Save his family. Kill himself. He's a failure. This is for the best. Death is the best thing that could happen to him. And the devil simply waits. God has promised someone will die tonight. And when this man dies, he is the devil's forever. The jailer braces himself, takes the hilt of the sword, and a voice cuts through the deathly silence of the night. Don't harm yourself! We're all here! He drops his blade. It's not possible. That voice, it was Paul's. The one who should be angry at him for what he did. The one whose God shook the prison. The jailer calls, summons, screams for lights. Finally, the guards show up, lanterns in hand. They race through the prison. Every prisoner is there. Every single one. The jailer stumbles into Paul and Silas's cell. This is the man who speaks for the God who is angry with me. This is the man I must appease. And the jailer falls on his face in the dirt and filth of the cell. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to clear my name before your God? What must I do so you're not angry at me? What must I do? He knew. He had to do whatever this representative from God said. Kill himself. Slay another. Offer up some sacrifice. Whatever it was, he would do it. This God was too powerful for him, and his only hope was whatever Paul and Silas would say. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas answer, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Satan screams. He accuses God. You promised me! You promised me that one would die tonight. God shushes him. Have I not said it? It will happen. Watch. The Bible says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his household. The jailer's wife trembling came out to him. And his 16-year-old son, sword in hand, emerged. All his children, even the 2-month-old, his servants. And Paul and Silas explained who this Jesus was. You've seen the wrath of God. You know that you failed. You know that you've done wrong, and his fury is great. But this Jesus, who is God's son, lived the life you never did. He never tortured his prisoners. He never hurt anyone unjustly. His anger came only at injustice. And when he died, he exchanged himself. He put himself in the line of his father's fury. He faced the judgment you have earned. There is no punishment left. And now he reveals himself not in anger, but in love. And at that very hour of the night, the jailer and his entire family, they die. God keeps his promise. They die. They are drowned. It's too late to go to the river, but there is water enough here. There's water in pitchers on the table left over from supper. It is water enough. And Paul and Silas pour water over the jailer, and they speak the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as surely as the jailer met the wrath of God in the earthquake, he meets the wrath of God again. And God works through the promise he has made through water and word, and he drowns the jailer. He takes the man the jailer was, that sinful nature, that enemy of God. And God releases all his pent-up fury and drowns him. In baptism, the jailer is united with the death of Christ. And he is raised again to new life. He is not who he was. The old has gone, and the new has come. The jailer is totally new, united not only with the death of Jesus, but in his resurrection as well. Here, the jailer has met with God, in water and word, in drowning and new life. Here, the jailer sees who God is, one who is pure and holy and cannot stand sin, but took on the sin he hated to save us who sinned. And now, in baptism, the jailer is God's son too. And it's not just the jailer. His wife, the 16-year-old son, every child, even his 2-month-old miracle. They all drown, they all die, and they are all reborn by water and the word. The Bible says he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. The night began in Paul and Silas worshiping that they were counted worthy of suffering for Christ. The night ends in the jailer rejoicing that Christ suffered for him. The night begins and ends in joy. Death happened, but not as anyone but God had planned. Now, Satan had planned Paul's death. Then he changed gears and claimed the jailer. And the jailer and his entire family did die. But they were drowned in baptism and made new as children of God. Brothers, sisters, when death circles around you, when you believe that you have no hope, remember that you have already died. In your baptism, God destroyed all of you that deserves punishment. And now the real you, the new you, is his child. And he allows only the best into your life. And there's so much more coming. If you face death, when you face death, you do not do so alone. If you suffer, talk to someone. Talk to your pastor. Suicide is never noble. It is never the answer. It is always a grievous, evil sin. God has already made you new. You are his child. You are loved. He has claimed you. Just as with the jailer, just as with Paul and Silas, he has claimed you. You have died and have been made new. And this story is true.